Good morning. Great to hear your excited chatter. Lovely to have you here. If you don't regularly worship with us here this morning, then it's great to see you, and we extend to you a very warm, well, maybe not warm, not so warm today, a little bit cooler, which is lovely, but we extend to you a welcome to be here with us today. Now, I just want to remind you at the start that we are still under the direction of our government when it comes to COVID regulations, and so we are a little bit more spaced out, and you need to just adhere to that distancing between people that you're not, I was going to say not connected with, but if it's not your family or your household, please just keep a bit of a space. Also, if you've got coughs and colds and things, please keep them to yourself. You might like to take them and go home. Otherwise, it's great to be here and to worship together. If you haven't, as you come in, we just need to keep a registration of who is here. And so hopefully you've all signed your name in as you came in. If you haven't, you might like to do it as you go out so we can make sure we keep everyone safe. I'm reading this morning from Isaiah. There's so many things at the moment that I've been reading in my readings about the prophecies about Jesus and the things that are spoken about in Isaiah that we read about when we read the Christmas story and the account of Jesus. So this is from Isaiah 61, verses 10 to 11, and this is from the Message translation. I will sing for joy in God. I will explode in praise from deep in my soul. He dressed me up in a suit of salvation. He outfitted me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom who puts on a tuxedo and a bride a jeweled tiara. For as the earth bursts with spring wildflowers and as a garden cascades with blossoms, so the Master God brings righteousness into full bloom and puts praise on display before the nations. I love that version that just gives such great imagery. As I look out and see the rain lashing down, we await the blossoms that spring after the rain. Well, this morning, my prayer is that as you worship together, you're blessed, and that as we worship, we bless the heart of God. I'm going to hand over to our music team, and we're going to sing together to celebrate how great our God is.
How great is our God? How great is your God, Fred? Hallelujah. One of the things I love about Christmas time is we get to sing Christmas carols, and we're not singing Christmas carol right now, but Christmas carols, it's a whole season. I was talking to Seth about this before. It's a whole season where we sing songs totally focused on the majesty and the glory of God. Quite often in our worship time, we sing songs that concentrate on our suffering and our journeys, and that's okay. There's a place for that, but I love the Christmas time where we just concentrate on who God is and His majesty. And the songs, even though they're not all Christmas carols this morning, there is that theme. And we're going to start with the first one. Let's stand and sing, "How Great Is Our God." Sing with me, "How Great Is Our God."
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps Himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at His voice, and trembles at His voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. And age to age He stands, and time is in His hands, beginning and the end, the Godhead three. The Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great. God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Hello, good morning. I'd just like to pray. Tim said, could I pray and just maybe think about the hope of Christmas or the hope for Christmas? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, how great is our God? How appropriate is that word? Lord, we do come to that time of the year when we acknowledge Christmas. The world tries to acknowledge Christmas too, Lord. It's just a time set apart where we just say on this day, at this time of the year, we remember the birth of a baby far away in a poor place, born in a manger, and yet that baby changed the world. And Lord, whether the exact date is Christmas, the 25th of December, is not really relevant. We just come today to acknowledge who Jesus Christ was. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It was God who came as a baby, born in a manger, who grew into a young man and changed the world forever. Our time went from BC to AD. Nothing would be the same once you had been, Lord, upon this earth in the flesh, born of Mary, but yet you came in the flesh in the form of a man. And Lord, you went on to die on the cross and to shed your blood for every one of us here today. The world wrestles with this. They want to understand it, but they lose it in tinsel, they lose it in Santa Claus, and they lose it in reindeer, Lord. And we pray today that the world, this Christmas, the hope of Christmas, is that they will truly come to understand who Jesus Christ is. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door, and I knock. And if you open the door, I will enter in and dine with you." He is on the outside knocking, and people refuse to open the door. This Christmas, I hope, is the Christmas of opening doors. It is a Christmas where I hope people will realize there's a new start. He came to bring us the New Testament, the new way, to give us the Holy Spirit, to give us salvation. And he came to show the world that he has conquered death and risen again. He has given us the power of the Holy Spirit that no one can take from us. He's given us the right to enter into the Holy of Holies and to commune with God himself. Lord, we remember the birth of this baby. But most of all, we come here today gathered to remember the significance of what he did and what he means. We give you all the power and the glory. For unto us a babe was born, and unto us a son was given. But his name would be Prince, Mighty Counselor, Wonderful God, Creator, and Prince of Peace. He was given multiple names, and he changed the world. So my hope for Christmas is people will open the door when they hear the knock. If you hear the knock, open the door and he will come in. It is a new time, a new start. And we just pray today, Lord, that you'll be with us with your Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks, Richard. Now, we're going to have kids' time, but I just want to say today, it may be a little bit different, but I want to take this opportunity to thank our kids' team, our team of people led by Jess, but also everyone else that goes out from week to week and helps in different ways. Can we just acknowledge them today and give them a thanks, please? They had a little meet, thank you, coffee and special treats down on the beach this week, and we really do value you and your input. Now I'm going to hand over to Jess and Brittany together to do our kids' time today. Are you guys on school holidays? Yeah? Put your hand up if you're on school holidays. Cool. So, we are going to do an exciting breakup party today. So, Brittany and I wanted to celebrate our kids today. So, we would like to acknowledge you, each one of you, and update our church family as well on, yeah, our kids and where they're at the moment. So, we will go through that. Luke. So, Luke finished his first year of prep this year. How awesome's that? So, yeah, just hold on to them and then we're going to take them out for our party, okay? I just can't wait. I know the feeling. Ethan. Ethan finished year four this year and became a junior soldier as well. Levi finished year four as well. And Kira. Kira completed her first year of school this year, so she's in grade one next year. Lillian. So Lillian has come to our church recently. She's just completed primary school as well, so she's in high school next year. Sophie has completed primary school this year as well, so she starts high school next year too. Alicia. Alicia became a junior soldier this year and just finished year three. Amani turned three this year. Jacinda is starting prep next year, so she's going to school. Imogen completed year four this year. I'm trying to remember them all. And Caitlin and Jaden are visiting with their grandparents at the moment. So here is a little gift. And what grade did you guys complete this year? Year three. Cool. And did Caitlin complete year four? Was it? Yeah. And you completed year four, Caitlin. Good job. Here you go. Nice. Oh, good. All right. So we are going to, just go out and have a breakup party to celebrate the kids and if there's any other children here as well that didn't come up to the front, you're more than welcome to come out as well and have a little breakup party with us as well. And so we just want to celebrate you guys. And Brittany and I are so proud of you all and watching you go through this year and all the changes and homeschooling and watching us online and everything that you guys did. We're just so proud of you and we would just want to celebrate you and tell you guys how much all of your church family and Brittany and I love you guys. And it's Imogen's birthday on Thursday. How could I forget? We've been hearing about it for about 2 months. So let's sing happy birthday to Imogen as well. Fantastic. Have a good time, kids. See you later. We'll see you at the end. It's great that they can celebrate together, and so we're very blessed. For in the next few weeks, we're going to holiday programs, not their regular programming. We return to our regular programming at the end of January. In the meantime, they're going to have some holiday activities. And we do, around this area, expect to get visitors from time to time because we're at the beach. And so we may expect some families coming. That'll be great to join with them. Announcements today. We're beginning our sermon series, and you may have received a little card last week or this week about our sermon series. And you may see, if you're on Facebook and you see other Salvation Army churches around the place doing this series, that's because we're all, some of us, are sticking to that kind of plan, and they've produced some resources. So you may see these similar images all around the place. But this week, Tim is going to bring us incredible news. Incredible news? We're excited. I like incredible news. Then next Sunday, an incredible God that I'm going to be talking about. And on Christmas Day, an incredible birth as we celebrate the birth of Christ. Please note that on Christmas Day, we're coming at 9 a.m. early. Daphne's laughing because she has to get up early and travel further on Christmas Day than every other day, but that's okay. Now, the Christmas Day offering, we usually have an offering collected and we give it to an overseas or a project. This year, we're going to bless the Salvation Army's work in Indonesia. And recently, we heard of a terrible tragedy in Indonesia where one of the Salvation Army places was attacked and people were killed. We want to support the work of the Salvation Army in Indonesia this year. So on Christmas Day, if you come prepared, ready to give an offering, we're going to receive that and send it to the Salvation Army in Indonesia. Christmas collecting. James has got a roster ready. There's a few gaps. And if you are able to collect on that roster this week, can you please see James afterward? And that'll be great. It's a good time to be out in the community. Not only are people generous towards us, but it's a good way to bless our community and give them a smile, and lots of conversations happen. So that's a really wonderful time. And finally, this week is our blessings week. In the past, we've had a Sunday afternoon where everyone comes in and they come to the deck and we bring the families through one at a time and they receive their Christmas hampers and toys for the children. This year, we're planning a week of blessings. So tomorrow is set up, and then on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, we've got families coming in a more spread out, COVID-friendly way. And we're actually going to have people come as a bit of a drive-through, drop-off, pick-up, not drop-off, pick-up. So it's going to be a bit different, but we're really grateful for those people who are going to be involved in that. Now, if you want to see Jess today, is Jess here? She's gone out with the kids. Jess, not this Jess, the other Jess. Just speak to someone. And I'm sure that if you have a little bit of time and you'd like to help, there will be some things remaining that you can help with this week. So that's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. We're going to have families coming onto the land. We're going to be blessing people. And just pray for us. Pray for everyone. Jess, this just wave, because I just talked about you. And I said if anybody has some spare time, they want to speak to you or speak to James, do that after church. So it is a great time. I was just saying, if you can, please be praying that everyone who comes across this threshold, across the driveway, will know that this is the place where we want to glorify God, and that the generosity is because the love of Christ compels us and we want to bless others. So that will be happening this week. And I think there's only one more thing that I wanted to tell you. A couple of people have given me an order for a name tag. We're waiting and waiting for a couple more people. So this week I will definitely be ordering name tags. So if you do want a name tag, today is the deadline to let me know. Okay, thank you. I'm going to hand over to Derek. Again, Derek, you're on.
It's up to you. Oh, rock, scissors, paper for it. We're going to take the offering up now, and while we do, we're going to sing a newer carol. You might know it as the Calypso Carol, or you might know it as See Him Lying on a Bed of Straw. The words are in your order of service, I believe. Seth, are there words in the order of service?
Yep.
Hallelujah. There's four verses. So what we might do is we might ask you to stay seated for the first two verses while the collection gets taken up, and then if you feel that you would like to, on the third and fourth verses you can stand, and you might even want to move around a bit. It has that type of feel to it. Thanks.
See him lying on a bed of straw, a draughty stable with an open door. Mary cradling the babe she bore, the Prince of Glory is his name. Oh, now carry me to Bethlehem to see the Lord of love again. Just as poor as was the stable then, the Prince of Glory when he came. Star of silver, sweep across the skies, show me Jesus where the manger lies. Shepherds, swiftly from your stoop arise to see the Savior of the world. Oh, now carry me to Bethlehem to see the Lord of love again. Just as poor as was the stable then, the Prince of Glory when he came
to stand.
Angels, sing again the song you sang. Sing the glory of God's gracious plan. Sing that Bethlehem's little baby can be the Savior of us all. Oh, now carry me to Bethlehem to see the Lord of love again. Just as poor as was the stable then, the Prince of Glory when he came. Mine are riches from your poverty, from your innocence eternity. Mine forgiveness by your death for me, child of sorrow for my joy. Oh, now carry me to Bethlehem to see the Lord of love again. Just as poor as was the stable then, the Prince of Glory when he came.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Good morning. Time for chat in the chapel. And I have a friend with me this morning who has some incredible news. Come on, Matt. Just Matt at the moment. Some of you have met Matt before. He's been here at church and shared something of his testimony and story one Sunday morning when Jan and I were doing the Sunday morning meeting. But he's back with some incredible news. Fits the theme very well. But for those of you that haven't heard his story, I just thought it would be good, it would be encouraging to hear something in Matt's story. So Matt, what was life like for you just over 7 years ago? By the way, Matt and I met at Dooralong Transformation Centre, which is on the central coast of New South Wales, a Salvation Army rehabilitation centre. That was before I retired. When I was the commissioner, I was doing Wednesday night chapel. And Craig Stevens was the manager. Yep. And he said, I want you to meet a man. And we connected and we stayed friends. But what was life like before Dooralong Transformation Centre, Matt?
Thanks, James. Yeah, it was unique to say the least. So you're bang on. It's about 7 years almost to the day. And when I came into the Dooralong Transformation Centre, at that point, I'd been an ice addict for about 15 years. I smoked ice pretty much every day in that period. I was a gang member. I was a senior member of the biggest bike gang in Australia. I was a very violent, dangerous, extremely broken man. And I'd been dethroned from my club about a year earlier, and I'd gone from living this crazy lifestyle all around the world, and then actually ended up becoming homeless and living in a park in Glenfield. It was the hardest time of my life. I went to commit suicide on one particular day, and I'd pushed all my friends and family and loved ones completely out of my life. I no one would even answer a phone call to me. And there was really nothing left for me at that point. I wasn't a man of faith at that point either. I certainly am today. And I, you know, I put a gun to my head on this particular day. I went to pull the trigger. And in that moment, as the gun was pressed against my head, I had a memory flood back in my mind of my little brother and I playing around the Christmas tree when we were little children. And we did come from an amazing family. And my brother would have been 3, I would have been 7 at the time. And we were chasing a little golden retriever puppy that our parents had just bought us around the Christmas tree. And I had this moment where I was chasing Adam, chasing the puppy. And Adam turned around and he looked at me like I was his hero. And I dropped the gun and I rang a place called the Dooralong Transformation Centre. I got in there 3 months later. And make no mistake, I was a very angry, violent guy. I'd lived that way of criminality my entire life. I had no work career. I didn't know how to function as an adult. And essentially, I was a 16-year-old boy in a 33-year-old man's body at that point when I met James. I find it funny when you say, meet this man, because I don't feel I was a man then at all. You know, I was a child in a grown-up man's body, and that's because in addiction, when you start in addiction at 16, all the normal life skills that one would develop, just the most simplest things of how to function a normal day are all put to the side. And you'll find that quite frequently. But yeah, I woke up in Dooralong.
So, the Christmas message is good news, or incredible news, as the scripture says, of great joy for all people.
Amen.
And the scripture says, unto you is born a Saviour, Christ the Lord. So, what saved you? What changed? What happened at Dooralong Transformation Centre that changed your life?
Yeah, there was certainly one profound moment. It's probably one of the greatest moments of my life. And I'd been in the program at that point for about 6 weeks. And once again, very angry guy. I was very much stuck in that gang mentality. I'd walk around the rehab like holding pineapples, you know, looking like an absolute buffhead. And, you know, I walked around the rehab like I was the king of the rehab, you know, which is not much of a claim to fame at 33 years of age. And on this particular day, I was on a phone call to my ex-partner at the time, and we were both, you know, both drug addicts, both in very toxic relationships. She was in another state at the time, and I, you know, we were screaming abuse at each other, I hate you too, and all this horrible venom stuff. And I mean, I am screaming, and there's people literally, you know, running away from me, clients in the rehab. You know, I didn't care to think about how this was affecting them at the time. And as I'm yelling and screaming abuse at this person on the phone, this little lady walks out of the chapel. I'd never met her before. You know, she stands about there on me. She walked up to me and I'm going, and she walked up right as I'm on the phone, cool as a cucumber, and she walked up and she said, excuse me, mate, you need to come inside. Chapel's about to start. I can't tell you what I said in this room. I don't think it's appropriate, but it wasn't pretty, right? And I mean, I screamed at her, all the colourful words under the sun. And she just sort of went right out, and she just walked straight back into the chapel. Anyway, what happens next changed my life. You know, my father was killed only a couple of years earlier, and I couldn't shed tears at his funeral. I was a very emotionless, broken guy. There was decades of stuff going on for me. No one could get in. And what happened next changed my life. I was at the table and I was sitting there with my head in my lap, and I'd just hung up the phone on my ex-partner, and I'm sort of steaming, and people are sort of really scared to come up and come near me. And one of the boys crawls up to me real hesitantly, and he's like, oi, Matty. He goes, do you know who that was, bro? I go, who? He goes, that's the boss's wife. And I just went, oh, no. Oh, no. And I'm sitting there and I've just told, you know, every word under the sun to this lady. And you've got to understand, there's big signs everywhere. The golden rule, no violence, this, you're out, you know. And I'm sitting there, and see, what they didn't know, in particular this lady didn't know, was that only a matter of months earlier, I had a gun pressed against my head. Like I was millimetres away from my life being over and never getting another chance. And there was no options left. There was no way out for me. I'd literally been scooped up into this program off the streets, out of a park, as a full-time ice addict. There was nowhere else to go. No one would answer a phone to me. There was no friends or family at that time. I'd pushed them all out of my life, and not because they're not amazing, but because I was a ratbag. And, you know, she didn't realise I was sitting there knowing that she's going to walk out with the security guard and say, listen, mate, jump up, pack your bags. We're going to give you a lift to Wyong train station. Thanks for coming. She didn't realise that I'm actually sitting there planning the end of my life, because I knew that as soon as she'd come in and say that, there was no other option for me. So I'd made a plan in my head that I was going to, when she came out and she kicked me off the program, I was going to go down to Wyong Park and I was going to hang myself. And I'd made that decision. And what she did next changed my life. She walked out and she said, excuse me, mate, you need to stand up. There's a security guard next to her. And I went, yeah, righto, here we go. And I just stood up. Sort of went, yep, I know how this works. And I was ready. I was ready for my fate. And she said, looked up at me and she said, mate, would you mind if I gave you a hug? I said, what? What do you mean? What do you want to hug me for? She goes, oh, because I love you, mate. It's all right. Let me give you a hug. Come here. Come here. It's all right. And I just, real awkwardly, like, I didn't know what to do. I just sort of leaned in and she just grabbed me. She just wrapped her arms around me and she prayed for me. She put her head up. Hand on my head, and she started praying for me. And no one had ever prayed for me at that point, I can assure you. And, you know, for 20 years, I was stone cold, and I couldn't cry at my own father's funeral just a couple of years earlier as I was reading a eulogy. And yet on this particular day, I mean, I just exploded. I mean, 20 years of tears just... And it was so profound, because when you think about it, for many reasons, but when you think about it... you know, this woman, Rachel McDonald, her name is, and she's obviously a friend of ours, and an amazing Salvation Army officer. She showed me what grace looks like, right? She showed me what it looks like when the world, which we're all used to, by the way, when the world says, well, you don't have to put up with that. You can tell him to go get stuffed. Like, in fact, you should tell him to go get stuffed. That's what the world would have you know. And yet, Rachel stood there and, in a moment of challenge, and she said, well, that's not what my Lord and Saviour says. My Lord and Saviour calls me to stand up and be greater than that. He calls me to show love and grace no matter what. And he calls me to love people back to life, which is exactly what took place for the next 14 months in the program.
Amen. Love. Loved back to life.
Amen.
The amazing grace of God, the incredible news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's still incredible news. He loves, he saves, he transforms.
Amen.
Thank you, Matt. Welcome. Now, you have some incredible news
you
want to share with us this morning.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, the last 7 years have been truly remarkable, and one word I just wanted to touch on before I tell you that incredible news, is because it's been on my heart since I spoke with James, is the word cornerstone. And the last 7 years of my life, I mean, I've led some of the biggest companies in Australia. I've been in national executive roles. All my family has been completely restored. They've actually flown up here today for a very special occasion that we're all going to spend tonight together. What has happened in my life is truly remarkable, and it's because my faith has been the cornerstone of my life now, right? Now, I want to stress that, because I don't want you to think that it's all sunshine and rainbows. I am far from perfect. I am far from flawless. I make many mistakes. But what my faith has allowed me to do is to benchmark my life, is to say, well, this is what I aspire to be, right? And spend every day trying to get there, right? I fail most days, but it's, you know, as I say to my partner the other day, when you look at my life year on year for the last 7 years, it's always greater than yesterday. It's always been greater than yesterday, and that's because of my faith. It's that simple. The good news is, almost 7 days to being an ice addict, bum about to commit suicide in a little park in Glenfield, last night I got engaged to my beautiful fiancée, Lauren, who's over there. Come on up, baby. And yeah, we're gonna get married.
So that's the incredible news. that Matt wanted to share this morning. I told him when I saw him I had a sleepless night because I knew it was all planned that he was going to propose this morning. And I thought, what if she says no?
Mate, you weren't the only one, I can tell you. Okay.
All right, and Matt's asked me to pray a prayer of blessing upon them this morning. So let me pray. Please join us. God, we thank you this morning for love changes everything. And your word says, now abideth faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Thank you for the love of Jesus in our lives. But thank you, Lord, too, that you said it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. And the two will become one flesh. And I thank you for Matt and Lauren and pray your blessing upon their journey together. Thank you for this good news, incredible news of their engagement. Continue with them on the journey. May they glorify you, honor you, and may they be the help to each other that you planned. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thanks,
Matt. Awesome. Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you.
Thank you, James and Matt. We're going to sing again, A Little Town of Bethlehem. You can feel free to stand and sing to stand while we sing. We're going to sing four verses. We'll keep it moving, I think. Sometimes this song can drag a little bit, but we'll keep it moving this morning. A Little Town of Bethlehem. Let's stand and sing.
Abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Sean brings us the word.
Thanks for sharing your story, Matt. It was awesome. And congratulations. Okay, this is a reading from Luke 1, verse 26 to 38. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favoured woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very grateful and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestors, David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she has convinced a son and is now in her 6th month. Conceived a son is now in 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her.
Okay, enough worrying. Let's get some of this down. First thing, you've got to be kidding me. When that angel turned up and told me that I was going to have a baby, the Son of God, that was my first thought. You've got to be kidding me. Honestly, I was still getting over having an angel appear in my lounge room and then he comes out with that. It's not that I didn't believe in angels or God. I've always believed, but I never thought, ever, that God would use me. Right here. And I was sitting right over there. Well, for a second, you don't exactly stay seated for long when an angel turns up. At first I thought it was a joke, one of those prank videos, but only for a millisecond. It was just too real. And then I was scared, like really scared. I mean, why was an angel coming to talk to me? I guess I just stopped breathing or something, because the next thing he said was, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." And then he told me the Lord wanted me to have a child, and that child would be God's son. It doesn't sound real, I know, but it happened. And I'm supposed to name this baby Jesus? It made no sense. But you know, I had one of those moments. One of those moments when you're the best version of yourself. And I thought, get a grip, Mary. This is God we're talking about. If he wants to do this, then he can do it. And you don't have to be afraid. So I said to God, and I really do mean it, "Your will be done." Honestly, that's when I started to get excited. I get to be part of God's plan. How cool is that? I have this faith, and yet at the same time, I can't even comprehend what's going on. What are my parents going to say? What about the rest of my church, my friends? They're going to think I'm crazy. I can see it now. Virgin says she's going to have God's baby. Definitely think I'm going crazy. And I haven't even mentioned the angel yet. Maybe I'll leave that part out. I'm supposed to be this good, faithful little girl, and now it looks like I've gone and ruined myself, but I haven't. I know how people get judged. I've worked so hard to not be like that, and now look what's going to happen. What is Joey going to think? Like, I know he loves me, but there is no way he's going to believe me. I can't blame him. I wouldn't believe me either. How can I prove this to anyone else? There's no angel here now. It's just me. Me and God. God, I'm scared and I'm nervous and worried and lonely and amazed, excited. I have all the feels all at once. Please help me get through this.
Incredible news. We've already had some incredible news today. Have you ever received some incredible news? People react to incredible news in very different ways, don't they? I remember when I was in my last year of high school and my parents sat me and my two brothers down at the kitchen table and they said, we have some incredible news. And I thought we were going to move again because we moved a lot. And then they said, you're going to have a little brother or sister. And I can't tell you what I thought. I think I was a little bit numb. I think maybe I didn't really fully comprehend what that was going to mean for me and my brothers and my family. I mean, how can you? How can you when you get incredible news like that? I do remember, though, Karen and I went to church together. And I was speaking to Karen's mum at the time, a little bit later, and I said, some incredible news. My mum is going to have a baby. And she said, I don't believe you. They're about the same age, and for her, it really would have been a miracle, I think. And even for my mum in her mid-40s, it was an amazing thing. But we all react to incredible news in different ways. Sometimes we just don't know how to take it. Sometimes, very often, it's, I don't believe you. I can't accept it. It's not really the sort of news that I'm looking for. And so we're going to look at the incredible news that Mary received today. Sean's already read that news. You've seen it acted out. We're just going to talk through it for a little while. Now, this incredible news is sent by an angel, Gabriel. And it's not the first time that Gabriel had turned up in the Bible. In the book of Daniel, Gabriel turned up and he gave some incredible news to Daniel. Now, when an angel turns up, people get a little bit freaked out, as you can understand. Now, the funny thing about angels, according to the Bible, which is the only way we really know anything about angels, unless you've had an experience yourself. If you have, I'd like to talk to you afterwards. But this angel was said in Daniel to look like a man and speak like a man. But obviously, there was something extraordinary about the angel because Daniel was afraid, he was terrified. And that same angel, Gabriel, brought some great news, some incredible news to a guy called Zechariah. And that is how Luke starts his story of Jesus. It opens up in Luke in the first verses, I think it starts at verse 5, the story of the angel Gabriel visiting a guy called Zechariah. Now, Zechariah was married to a lady called Elizabeth, and they were an older couple. They didn't have any kids. And it was Zechariah's turn as the priest to worship in the temple to represent the people. And an angel appeared. And the short version is that the angel said, Elizabeth is going to have a baby. And Zechariah's response, after he got over the fact that he shook with fear, was that, I don't believe you. Prove it to me. We're an old couple. How can this happen? And the angel said to Zechariah, this baby that's going to be born, they're going to proclaim salvation. They're going to announce the coming Messiah. And because you didn't believe me, you're not going to be able to speak until the baby's born. That was the proof that he had. And so 6 months later, the angel Gabriel comes again in the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So Elizabeth did conceive. And later on, she gave birth to a boy called John. And next week, Karen's going to talk to us about that interaction between Mary and Elizabeth. So verse 28 starts, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin called Mary. Now, there wasn't anything particularly interesting about Nazareth. It wasn't a capital city. It wasn't a trade route. It really was on the route to nowhere. In the backwoods, just a nothing sort of town. In the book of John, when Jesus starts to call his disciples, a guy called Philip speaks to a guy called Nathanael and says, come and see this guy. I think he could be the Messiah. He's Jesus from Nazareth. And Nathanael's response is, can anything good come from Nazareth? Now, you probably know that town that you can relate to. And if someone comes from there and does something amazing, can anything good come from, insert town here? Not out loud. But we all know that's the sort of town where Jesus was born and Jesus grew up. And that's where Mary lived. And there was probably nothing too wonderful or amazing about Mary. She was a virgin, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Now, she was probably culturally a teenager. They had a system of betrothal and marriage that's similar but different to what we have today. So they were betrothed, a very formal situation, which could only be broken with divorce. And it led to marriage. But she was in that in-between stage where, Luke tells us twice, she was a virgin and her name was Mary. So here's an ordinary teenager in an ordinary town. And God chooses her. God selects her. And the angel comes and greets her and says, Gabriel says, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now, if you've been brought up in the Catholic faith or an experience with the Catholic Church, you'll know about Hail Marys. Anyone here said a Hail Mary? So, the Hail Mary starts, Hail Mary, full of grace. This is where they get that from, Luke 1:28. That's just another interpretation, another translation of this verse. Greetings, a formal greeting. You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And we all experience God's undeserved favor. We all experience God's grace in one form or another. And we all experience God's presence in some form or another. In fact, God's presence and God's grace goes before us. If our world did not have God's presence and God's grace, it would be in such a mess. You think the world's in a bit of chaos right now? If you take God's presence and God's grace that goes before, God's undeserved favor, the world would be hell. So we all experience God's grace and God's presence, but Mary today was experiencing God's grace and God's presence in a particular way. Now, Mary was greatly troubled, the Bible says. Not just because there was an angel there, but there was something about this greeting. She was probably aware of the scriptures that when an angel appears, something's going to happen. Angels don't just pop up with a message from God for no reason. There's a task. There's something that's going to come to pass. There's a reason an angel has come to speak to you. It's not just to say hello and how's your day. It's to give you a message And so she was greatly troubled at his words. What do you mean I'm highly favored? What do you mean you're with me? And she wondered what kind of greeting this must be. Gabriel straight away eases her anxiety and her discomfort and says, don't be afraid, Mary, and reminds her again that you have found favor with God. And then he gives her a whole stack of information. He downloads a whole stack of information. Now, if someone gives you a whole stack of information, sometimes you get stuck at the very first piece of information. If I said to you, now, straight after this, I want you to hop in your car, I want you to drive 5 kilometres north and then turn, there's a little roundabout and there's a petrol station, turn left, and over the hill and then probably another couple of kilometres, you'll see a big sign on the right, no, it's on the left, no, it's on the right, and then keep travelling and then, you know, you'll be at the beach, and then once you get to the beach, I want you to go down and see this guy called Bob. Now, I got stuck at hopping your car. I don't know about you. And Mary got stuck at this first bit, you will conceive. Because her question is, well, how can this be? But there's a whole lot of information that she would have probably processed later on. And this is it. You will give birth to a son and you would call him Jesus. Yeshua, which means salvation. It wasn't a new word. It was a derivation on the word Joshua. And there's been plenty of Joshuas in the Bible. Salvation, deliverer, the one who would bring freedom, the one who would bring release. This is Jesus. And they were awaiting salvation. They were awaiting freedom. They were awaiting the Messiah, the anointed one who would come and deliver them. You see, it had been 400 years since God had spoken to his promised people. 400 years between the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, and Gabriel turning up. Silence. And yet, they were waiting. They were holding on to the promise that God had given the people, that there would be salvation. There would be a deliverer. There would be a new king on the throne, an anointed one who would come and save them. And Gabriel says that this Jesus, he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Almost word for word, the same promise that God gave David towards the end of his life. In 2 Samuel, I've been with you. I will make your name great. The Lord declares that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father. He will be my son. My love will never be taken from him. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Jesus was the fulfillment of the hope that the Israelites, the people of Judah, had about salvation. He was to be the promised king. He was the one who was going to save them. But so much more. He wasn't just king for a particular people and a particular time. As we read through the story, as you read through the story that as Luke presents and through all the Gospels, you know that Jesus is a king who came for everyone. God wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to know Jesus. He wants everyone to experience the salvation, the hope, and the freedom that only Jesus can bring. And so Jesus came into the world as a king, a kingdom that will never end. Now, as I said, Mary didn't probably hear all that straight up. She got stuck on, and you will conceive. Now, I was thinking about this because obviously she would hope that she would conceive. She was betrothed to be married. So why does she think it was the here and now? Why did she think it would happen in this way and not maybe later on when she married Joseph and then maybe later on they'd have a baby and then maybe later on he'd be called Jesus? Because the way that Gabriel presented this story, you are highly favored now. God is with you now. And in the same fashion, she understood that you would conceive now. And of course, if someone said that to you as a teenage girl, as a virgin, your response is, well, how can this be since I'm a virgin? Now, some people really get hung up on the fact that Mary was a virgin, and the Bible says that she conceived in a miraculous, mysterious sort of way. And I can sort of understand that, I guess. But if God can make Adam and Eve, our first parents, out of dust, if Jesus can come to the world in a miraculous, unique way and be every way human and in every way God, I don't really see why it's such a big deal that this entry of this unique and particular individual, like us but not like us, experiencing everything that we experience but and yet having a perfect connection with God, shouldn't come into the world in a mysterious way. And so when the Bible says that, when Luke records that the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you," I don't think I really need to understand exactly what that means. I just need to accept that this is how it happened. In a miraculous way, Mary, a virgin, conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so she would give birth to the Holy One, who would be born and would be called the Son of God. Son of the Most High, Son of God. Now Mary at this stage, as we find out later on, didn't know that her relative Elizabeth was pregnant and had been pregnant for 6 months. Actually, the Bible tells us that once Elizabeth became pregnant, possibly because she was quite a bit older, she secluded herself. So she hadn't shared her incredible news with anybody. But now the angel was doing that for her. Gabriel said, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." No word from God will ever fail. Other translations say, "Nothing is impossible with God." Do you believe that? Nothing is impossible with God. Now there's a sense, well, I can't really relate to this story, to be honest, especially to Mary. So I'm a middle-aged man. I'm still calling myself middle-aged. I think that's okay. In 21st century Australia, a different culture, a different language, a different time. And I have to get into my head of a teenage girl at the turn of the first millennia, who's a virgin, betrothed to be married to a man with a totally different dynamic in culture and understanding and language, who was visited by an angel and try to understand what her response would be. But there is a sense where this all makes sense to each of us, because Mary was included in God's story. When God said to her, "You will conceive and you will give birth to a son," she was included in the story of God. She was invited into the kingdom processes of God. And God invites each of us into his kingdom. He says to us, says to each of us, "Come and meet my son Jesus. He showed me exactly what I'm like. In fact, he is God with skin on. And he came and he offers you freedom. He offers you forgiveness. He offers you a new connection, a new start, a fresh start." Don't we all want a fresh start? And he invites us all, each one, into God's story, into his story. And he says, "Be a part of my kingdom. I've got a part for you to play." Only Mary could play that part. She was a lady in a particular place in a particular time, and God chose to intervene through her into history. But we all have our part to play in the kingdom of God. God invites us all to be into that kingdom in part of his story. But the question is, what is your response to that? What is your response to the invitation that God gives to you? He says to you today, "I want you to be a part. I want you to be included. I want you to experience forgiveness. I want you to experience the connection with me that you can only understand if you have Jesus in your life. I want you to play your part in the kingdom." What is your response today? I hope your response is the same as Mary's response. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. No word from God will ever fail. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left. As we come up to this Christmas time, as we come up to this time when we remember that Jesus came and changed a world so that it would never be the same, as we remember that God intervened, that God became one of us, I hope that when God asks you to play your part, whatever part that is, maybe God has something amazing for you in store. Maybe in 2,000 years ago, we'll be talking about you. Or maybe it's a different part that God has for you. Either way, you don't want to be excluded. You don't want to be left out. You want to be part of God's kingdom. I know I do. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you came. I thank you that you showed us what God was like, that you lived the perfect life for us to follow. But more than that, when you died upon the cross, when you took the sins of the world upon yourself, even though you lived the perfect life, even though you had done nothing wrong, you set us free. We thank you for that, dear Jesus. And then you defeated sin and death by rising again, and we thank you for that. Lord, this Christmas time, as we remember the amazing story, the true story, the incredible news that you came to save us. You, the Son of the Most High, you, the Son of God. I pray, Holy Spirit, as you speak to each of us, as you invite us to be included in that, to play our part, to be part of your kingdom, you, King Jesus, I pray that today that we will take up that offer and we will live for you and we will serve you, because I know that we will be better for it. So I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come, let us worship the King. One of the things I really like about this song is that it says, God, you do great things. It's in the present tense. There's this sense sometimes in the Christian church that God did a whole bunch of great stuff back then, and we think about that and reflect on it. Good, let's do that. There's this sense sometimes in the Christian church that one day God will do something great. There's a revival coming. There's a thing coming. Yeah, good, let's wait for that. But actually, God does great things now. And I love that this song proclaims that. God, you do great things. It's in the present tense. Let's stand and proclaim this.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcome. He has done great things. He has done great things. O hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. Promises, yes and amen. You will do great things. God, you do great things. O hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things, you've done great things. Oh hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. Have done great things. You have done great things. Oh God, you do great things.
Amen. God does great things. I want to leave you with a benediction, but I also want to say, if you want to speak to someone today about God's call for you, if you want to talk about your response, Lord, I'm your servant. Let what you say be what you say. If you want to pray with someone today, we'll have some people at the front and you're welcome to come and pray with someone when we finish. But the benediction from 1 Thessalonians, may the God who gives us peace make you holy in every way and keep your whole being, spirit, soul and body, free from every fault at the coming of our Lord Jesus. He who calls you will do it because he is faithful. Amen. You're welcome to join us for a cuppa.